This meeting of the House Transportation Committee will now come to order. It is 1:03 p.m. on Thursday, March 12th, and we are in Capitol Room 124. Members present are Representative Stutes, Representative G. Nelson, Representative McCabe, Representative Mina, Representative St. Clair, Co-Chair Representative Carrick, and myself, Co-Chair Representative Eichheit. Let the record reflect we have a quorum to conduct business. Please take this time to silence cell phones for the duration of the meeting. Thank you for that. Before we begin, I would like to thank Jordan Nicholson from House Records, as well as Susan Quigley from the Juneau LIO for staffing the meeting today. Our committee aides are Meredith Trainer and staffer Griffin Sakeo. Thank you, everyone, for all the hard work you do for staffing this work and making it possible. Before I introduce today's agenda, I had a request for a personal privilege from Representative Garrett Nelson. Representative Nelson, I believe you wanted to address the committee.
It's good. We're good now.
Okay. Yeah, are we good on the audio problems? Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Representative Nelson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Two sentences. One is that I made an error last week, which I shouldn't have done because you reminded everyone to silence their cell phones, and I didn't. So donuts here today for the committee and their staff. So when it's done, everybody can pile in and take them back to your office. That's it. I apologize. Thank you for your indulgence.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. I just silenced my phone. Your error be our lesson, but we appreciate your accountability. On today's agenda, we're here a presentation from Representative Kai Holland and his staff, Aiden Nickel, introducing House Bill 346, Airports, Municipal Zoning, and Buffers. We're also here invited testimony today, and we do anticipate a hard stop at 2 p.m. or right before. Representative Holland and Aiden Nickel, would you please approach the dais, put yourself on the record, and begin your presentation. And just so everyone understands the flow, we do have two invited testifiers. So after Representative Holland and staff are done with their presentation, I would entertain clarifying questions and prefer to hold the deeper questions for after the invited testimony. And then we do have some other individuals online that can answer further questions. So, Representative Holland, please go ahead.
Great. Thank you, Chair Eichheit and the Transportation Committee for the opportunity to present this bill. I'm Kai Holland. I represent House District 9, which is the South Anchorage Hillside area, extending up Turnagain Arm to include the communities of Girdwood and Whittier. Included in this district are two airports. There's an airport in Whittier and also an airport located in Girdwood. And it's through working in the district, in particular with the Girdwood community, that I learned about this issue and bring this bill before you today. Specifically, this bill, House Bill 346, would make a change to require that the State Department of Transportation, when they're developing airports, to comply with and work with the local planning and zoning jurisdictions to maintain buffers between the airport and adjacent land use. This would not make any changes to their ability to develop those areas for necessary safety changes, but it would introduce the requirement that the development would comply with local planning and zoning requirements for buffering. So what may surprise you, it surprised me, is that in the state of Alaska, airports, when they're developed by the DOT, don't have to comply with the surrounding planning and zoning requirements. They are able to develop that land the way they need to, including the operational development in there. And through the FAA funding, they have very stringent requirements around how the airport is developed to ensure safety, and this is not changing that. But they have very important requirements that they should be engaged with local communities to ensure that future development in the community does not encroach into the area of the airport in a way that would harm operations. Interestingly enough, though, those rules don't say much about how the airport is developing out. So development coming in has to be done in a way that won't harm the airport and the operations, but nothing is talking about if the airport wants to grow out to do that. And that's what's happened here, is that the airport, in doing its development, has removed buffering from nearby residential areas that were there before, and it's what introduced us to this interesting issue and the history that goes behind it. So I think with that initial beginning, I'd like to have our staff, Aidan Nickel, have a chance to walk through the bill and its sections, and we can take any clarifying questions along the way, and then the invited testimony will help, I think, provide some more contextual perspective to what's going on here.
Before you start, Mr. Nickel, Representative Stutes has a question.
I do. Thank you. Thank you, Co-Chair Eichheit, through the Chair. What constitutes buffering? What is it? What is buffering?
You want to take that? Yeah, I think Aiden's going to take that.
Thank you, Representative Stutes, through the Chair. That is the first slide of my presentation, so that your question is appropriately timed. Through the Chair, for the record, my name is Aidan Nickel, staff to Representative Holland. So I have two satellite images here, one from Kodiak and one from Talkeetna, that demonstrate the importance of vegetative buffers. So here in both these images, you can see these areas between the industrial use area in the airport and the residential area. Most commonly, these are naturally occurring buffers, so trees. Sometimes they're also human-constructed buffers, generally with the goal of protecting residential communities near airports from sound and visual impacts of industrial activities happening near them. So you can see that the way the natural vegetation present between these areas can have a pretty significant impact on quality of life in a residential area. And as Representative Holland touched on, this bill addresses a discrepancy in current statute. The Airport Zoning Act, which was passed just before statehood by the territorial government, grants state agency broad control over airport land use and development. You'll find these provisions, Chair Eichheit, in Title II, Chapter 25, Sections 10 and 20 of the Alaska Statutes. Separately, Title 35, Chapter 30, Section 20 requires that state departments comply with municipal planning and zoning ordinances as any other entity would be required to. So you can likely understand that there is an area of overlap and conflict there. So with respect to airport planning, it is unclear based on these two statutes whether DOT's planning work is controlling or whether municipal planning should be controlling. In 1996, a memo from the Attorney General's office interpreted these statutes as primarily requiring DOT oversight, so DOT planning under that construction overrides municipal planning. However, two things are important to understand about that memo. First, it applied only to land on airports, while the Airport Development Act also gives DOT authority over land surrounding airports. And second, that memo relied on legal principles of statutory construction rather than principles of optimal land use and planning. So the bill we propose wades just slightly into this statutory ambiguity. We would require that the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities comply with local planning and zoning ordinances, only those ordinances that require buffers around airport land, airport land and non-industrial land. It does include an exception. It allows the removal or reduction of a buffer to eliminate a safety hazard, But if this avenue is going to be taken, it requires a public notice, an opportunity to comment before a buffer is removed for safety purposes. And it also requires mitigation measures as possible when a buffer is removed. And with that, Chair Eichheid, I would like to turn things back over to Representative Holland.
Great, thanks. I appreciate the chance to introduce this bill today. Going back just briefly to Representative Stute's questions about, you know, what is a buffer, we're being very, I think, strategic and limited in what we're proposing here, which is to rely upon local planning and zoning ordinances and rules in Anchorage Title 21 that itself defines what are minimum buffers that are required. So to the extent that there is no planning and zoning around an airport, this doesn't introduce anything new in terms of buffers. But to the degree that an airport is in an area that does have planning and zoning or comprehensive planning in place that does define what buffers should be in terms of the construction of a buffer, how it is, how deep it is, and whatnot, we're simply saying when there is land use planning guidance on having buffers, that the DOT should follow those, unless it gets in the way of safety.
Okay, so then are there any kind of broad base, general clarifying questions before we do deep dive? I see Co-Chair Carrick is on the queue. And then I just do, and Representative McCabe, I do want to just remind, though, I prefer broad-based ones so we can get to the invited testifiers, because my understanding is they may also provide some context. And I also do want to let the committee know we have several people online that can provide additional nuance. We have Britton Goldberg, Chief Aviation Leasing Department of Transportation, Jody Gould, Systems Planner, Alaska International Airport Systems, and Ian Moore, a planner at the Ted Stevens International Anchorage Airport.
And Chair Eichheid, if I could just also note and recognize that the legislative liaison, Andy Mills from DOT, is here in the room with us, and he's been very helpful. We've met, and he's helped identify some areas that we might provide some clarification in the future on this. So thank you.
But my intent is for general questions for you, Representative Holland. I'd like to do the deep dive with these other individuals after the invited testimony. But thank you for that. Co-Chair Carrick.
Thank you, through the co-chair. Just back on slide 3, can you describe what the 1996 memo said in respect to airport property?
Through the chair, through the co-chair, Co-Chair Carrick, you will find that memo in the hearing packet if you would like to take a deeper dive. But it did conclude that the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities is the controlling authority for planning on airport property.
Thank you.
Thank you for allowing me to clarify.
And if I can just add on to that question briefly, the issue that surfaced with the Girdwood Airport, there was some, you know, concern about the buffering, and there was, you know, a effort by the municipality to try and ensure that local planning buffering was maintained. And my understanding is the DOT relied upon this decision, this memo, to essentially say, no, we don't have to follow the local zoning buffering requirements. We can develop the property under the authority that this memo established. So it's an important memo.
Representative McCabe.
Thanks. Could we go to slide 2, please? So I'm curious why, well, first of all, the Kodiak one, that's Government Hill, right?
Yeah.
So that's on a hill, and it's also a Coast Guard base, which is a federal installation, so really has nothing to do with what we're talking about here. And I think that the runways were built first, and the Coast Guard put that housing there second.
Were.
So, you know, I'm a little bit confused about why that's there. Talkeetna is there's another runway in Talkeetna that's not shown here. That runway was actually moved from outside the city. It's in my district. I'm familiar with both these airports. I've flown into them numerous times. I'm going to have a ton of questions on this bill, just so you know. But I'm curious why you use those and you didn't use the Girdwood, the picture of the Girdwood Airport, where they're concerned with the buffering.
Through the chair, Representative McCabe, these pictures.
And just identify yourself for the record again.
Excuse me. Through the chair, Aiden Nickel, staff to Representative Holland. These pictures were only intended to illustrate the proximity that many residential areas have to airports, and then the need for a separation between these two sorts of properties. Was also intending to illustrate that beyond our district, there are many airports across the state that exist in close proximity to residential areas, and so this bill has relevance beyond our district.
Follow up. Yeah. Okay. The Kodiak picture that doesn't really show the hill that sits up on, which is you can actually look down on the airplanes from the housing area up there. So, it's not really demonstrating much of a buffer or even a need for a buffer. I don't know.
Representative McCabe, can I ask, where's the hill? Is it where the buildings are? Is that like
the
top of a hill?
So you see the trees. I assume that's what you're talking about as a buffer, is the trees. Mm-hmm. Those are 100 feet below the housing there, the hill. They're not really a buffer because the noise just kind of washes over the top of the hill there. So
okay, understood. I couldn't tell from the picture.
It's hard to tell from that picture, but it's not really an indicator of any kind of a buffer, nor would the Coast Guard really care if there was a buffer, right?
If I could, Chair.
Yes.
Kai Holland again. Representative McCabe's point, I think you're just helping us make the point that having some sort of buffering and separation between the airstrips and the taxiways are normally required and helpful. And in this case, the fact that there's an elevation vertical separation is actually just increasing the amount of separation. And that was our only point here, was to show that there are other places that have buildings in proximity, and there is generally an intent to keep some separation there, whether it's vertical or horizontal.
Final follow-up.
The number of times I've landed in the old Harbor Airport and rolled up right into the city is in the thousands. I mean, it was just kind of right. There was no buffer. You were right there in the city.
Representative Stutz.
Thank you, Co-Chair Eichheit. Would this bill affect existing airports now? Would they have to comply with this legislation?
Through the chair, Kai Holland, Representative Stutz, the way it's written at this point, it would affect existing airports. What this changes is what happens if the airport were to be looking at changing the buffers that are there. In particular, if they were buffers that were between the airport operations and a residential area.
Follow up. Thank you, Co-Chair Eichheit, through the chair. So on some runways, if, for instance, there weren't buffers that complied with this, they would be required to add them. If their local zoning code said that you needed to have buffers?
Kyle, and through the chair to Representative Stutz. I'd have to go back and look at it. It was not the intention of adding buffers that didn't exist already. This was really directed towards what would happen and the intent to maintain buffers when they existed and to protect the buffering that was there. Again, this is I'll just leave it there for now. This is trying to protect the existing buffers as opposed to creating any expectation that there'd be any buffers added that didn't exist already.
More follow-up. Well, thank you, Co-Chair Eichheit. So existing airports essentially, or maybe let me ask, would existing airports be grandfathered to not be affected by this legislation?
Kai Holland, to the Rep. Stutz, through the chair, it's not the current intent of the bill to do any grandfathering. But on the other hand, it's not the intent of this to create some sort of retroactive action to either add buffering that's not there now or to address any problems that have been created recently. This is, again, trying to change future development to your point, I think the fiscal note, and it's significant, I think reflects an issue around some ambiguity that you're asking about in terms of would this create a bunch of work that needs to be done to existing airports. And that was never the intent of this. The way it's worded and the way we originally intended this, this would be addressing future development by the airport that might affect removing or eliminating buffering that would otherwise have been required to remain. But we'll go back and see if we can provide some clarification on that, because that sounds like a valid unintended consequence that we wouldn't want to create. We're not trying to add a bunch of new buffering projects.
Thank you. I just would like to add that you're exactly correct. I'm looking at the fiscal notes on this and thinking, holy mackerel.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Co-Chair Eichheit.
Okay. So I'd like to move to invited testimony now. We have two individuals. First up, I see Ms. Camelia Seifert. Apologize for the mispronunciation. Ms. Seifert, would you please introduce yourself, your affiliation, and please start your invited testimony.
Chair Eichheit, my name is Camelia Seifert. And I live in Girdwood. Thank you very much for taking the time to consider this topic of zoning around airports and buffers between airports and neighborhoods. I live on Lake Tahoe Road in Girdwood, which is right in front of the Girdwood Airport. We bought our property in 1979 when the airport was little used. There were no hangars. There was one small shed. We built our home, and we've lived here since 1981. Over time, of course, the airport got busier and the lots leased and developed, but always there has been a substantial buffer zone between airfield activity and the neighborhood. The trees and shrubs grew in, providing a visual and sound barrier. In 2001 or two, after 9/11, a perimeter fence was installed, further establishing the de facto buffer zone. I am aware that the State of Alaska Department of Transportation and Aviation Leasing do not recognize buffer zone as a term, but it is a fact that the vegetated area has existed as a visual and sound barrier all these years. The airport master plan is a public document. Anyone can access the plan and see the lease lots, the building restriction line, the boundary, and determine the distance between airport development and the property line of private lots. None of us thought that the airport development would so intrude upon our daily lives. Last year, DOT Aviation Leasing chose to create a new lease lot at the south end of the airport, abutting the Lake Tahoe Road residences. This lot does not exist on the current airport layout plan, which is the state's own guiding document. The new lot is outside of the original perimeter fence, taking up the area always seen as the undeveloped zone sheltering residences from airport activity. The new perimeter fence is a few paces from my back door. The de facto buffer zone is now an industrial property with a 30-foot high, 4,800 square foot metal building. The neighborhood has lived with an intrusive industrial building project since July. Please understand, we are aware this property is owned by the State of Alaska, and we have no right to the property. That is not the issue. At issue is boundaries. It is appropriate that the state recognize there must be buffer zones where airfields meet neighborhoods. Please consider House Bill 346. And cause the State of Alaska, the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, and Aviation Leasing to comply with local planning and zoning ordinances and other regulations that require vegetated or constructed buffers between airport and adjacent non-industrial property. Thank you, Chair Eichheit and committee, for taking the time to hear us.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the committee? Or Ms. Seifert. Okay, seeing none, thank you, ma'am. We will go next to Steve Halverson. Mr. Halverson, if you would identify yourself, your affiliation, put yourself on the record, and begin your invited testimony, please.
Thank you, Co-Chair, Representative Aisha, and members of this committee. My name is Steve Halverson, and among other things, I'm a neighbor of Camilla and her husband, Dave. Ours is a neighborhood with a long history of sharing a boundary with the Girdwood Airport. For decades, the boundary has been treated with respect. Both the neighborhood and the airport operated within the guidelines set by the public planning documents maintained by Anchorage and the State Department of Transportation. Last year, that framework for cooperation changed seemingly without notice, and I've been asked to speak about what is happening in my neighborhood. What's happening in large part is because there is no law requiring DOT to consider the effect their new airport construction or leasing has on the land just outside of and adjacent to the airport boundaries. Are we able to look at the picture I have of the airport, of the Girdwood Airport? It's on the airport layout plan. Is that available?
Stand by, sir.
Through the chair, Aiden Nickel. We have that in the committee packet, so committee members can look at that. Mr. Halverson, if you wouldn't mind referencing the page through the chair.
Did you hear that, Mr. Halverson? What page is that in our packet?
Thank you, Co-Chair Aisha. It starts with a picture of the Girdwood Airport master plan, and then it goes, I don't know a page number, but it's got a diagram that looks like this. It's the airport layout plan.
It's the second page.
Through the chair, it is the second page of the document titled Girdwood Airport Master Plan.
Thank you, Chair. Okay. I think this will help everyone see our situation here. Currently, a large hangar is being constructed on land that has never been platted for development on any current or historic site plan for this airport. This new development is indeed outside the former security fence the airport had in place for the past 22 years or so. The current plan is that a commercial helicopter operation will be placed there. And if you go to the next page, it's a little more of a close-up of that diagram. And this is also found in the Girdwood Airport Master Plan. And I'm pointing all these rectangles are current hangar lots, lease lots. And over here on that diagonal is this new developed area. You can see just some outline of homes there as well. That's how close I hope we're able to see that. The public document relating to my local airport is called the State of Alaska Girdwood Airport Master Plan. This plan is periodically updated through a vigorous public process, and an important part of this plan is this airport layout plan that you're looking at. It's an FAA-approved site plan for the entire airport property. On the site plan are designated building lots, roads, taxiways, ramp areas, runway fences, and a lot of open space. I think you can see that from the page 2 of the overall airport. Airport layout plans don't currently include the words, quote, buffer zone or vegetative buffer zone, unquote. Yet, as you can see, there's a lot of open area. And currently, no, quote, buffer zone, unquote, is required by any statute. Now, the public document for the municipality that we're trying to work with probably on the next page of your handout. I wish I had the handout. I apologize, Coach Rajai.
Yeah,
but it looks like
can
this.
See it.
This is called Girdwood Comprehensive Plan. It's part of the Anchorage Municipality's plan. That's correct, sir. Thank you. This is what, and then the very next page is the applicable page of this document. It's maintained by the Municipality of Anchorage. At the bottom, it says, full T5, maintain the Girdwood Airport as a valuable community asset. There's a policy and an implementation action and some implementers. I don't need to go in detail into that particular document, but that is just to show that Anchorage has a municipal document dealing with borderlands. It has a section in that to address the development of land bordering airports. That Girdwood Comprehensive Plan basically says the border property holders should work together to do what's fair and appropriate. State DOT told us they are not required to follow any rules or regulations of these boroughs or towns. Basically, they referenced that memo. They did a good job explaining that memo to us as well, but it came as kind of a surprise. Last year, when I heard DOT was going to step outside this current and approved airport layout plan, I went to our Girdwood Board of Supervisors monthly meeting to ask them for help from the municipality of Anchorage. Camilla was at the same meeting, and after the meeting, we saw a need for more organization, and along with other neighbors and friends, a group called Alaskans for Responsible Airport Development, or ARAD, was formed. Now, I will say Camilla and I are both board members on this nonprofit group. ARAD's aim is not to shut down airports. In fact, we have friends and members who regularly use the airport. As we've said, we've lived near the airport for decades. Airports, or ARAD's vision, is that the people who live in and near airports and or under the common flight paths deserve a voice in proposed new developments on airport property. Simply because airport land is administered by the Alaska Department of Transportation doesn't mean they can act as if theirs is the only interest to be considered. Any airport development must recognize the community around the airport property, the sense of place within the community, and the local natural environment. So we've found it frustrating to be told we don't have a say in state airport development because we don't hold title to the land. It has been frustrating to be told the state does not need to consider whether noise or traffic or lighting or anything that happens on the state land has any effect on private or city land across the boundary. Now, what's been encouraging is I appreciate the efforts of my state legislators to find a reasonable remedy for this issue, and I appreciate this committee hearing my testimony. This bill, when made law, will importantly require the state to operate as they did for decades, which means the state, when constructing new infrastructure and operations along boundaries of airport land, must consider safety margins and quality of life effect on the neighboring residents. If this bill had been law last year, what is currently happening in our neighborhood would have been prevented. We would still be close neighbors of the airport, but with the sensible buffer that this bill has called for in place, we would preserve our quality of life and preserve safety margins. Thank you again, Co-Chair Eichheit, and members of the committee for hearing my testimony, and thank you, Representative Holland, for this important bill.
Are there any questions specifically for Mr. Halverson before we move in? Representative McCabe.
Thanks, Chair Eichheit. So, Mr. Halverson, I'm curious, this helicopter operation is a commercial operation. They're going to be operating a business in in Girdwood and providing revenue and tourism for the community.
Mr. Halverson.
Representative McCabe, through the chair. Yes, it is a commercial helicopter operator.
Follow up. So, I don't know this, but does the city, maybe I should know this, but does the city or the DOT maintain the airport and plow the airport and the taxiway and the roads going to the airport? Do you happen to know that?
Mr. Halverson?
This is Mr. Halverson, Representative McCabe. Britton Goldberg would certainly be more certain of this, but the state of Alaska is the one that plows the airport. They plow the road to the airport, and they plow the ramp and taxiways and runway.
Thank you.
Representative Nelson for Mr. Halverson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Through the Co-Chair, Mr. Halverson, you had mentioned in your comments that you said something – you said seemingly changed without notice. I was just wondering if you could kind of restate that and clarify what changed without notice. I just missed the first part of it as I was taking notes. I apologize.
Yes. Thank you, Representative, for your question. And from the chair, what changed is it goes back to this airport layout plan. I know my wife and I looked at this when we moved into the neighborhood because I myself am a pilot. I don't mind living next to an airport. And we could see where the development was planned for. We could see the lease lots. We could see undeveloped lease lots. We could also see a lot of space away from the neighborhoods. So what changed is the placement of a new lease lot outside of it, even outside of the security fence, and frankly, right as close as possible to any of the homes, despite all the other areas. That's what changed. There was no public process on this, as far as laying out a new airport layout plan, which I think is going to be underway. I'm not sure about that. We're told possibly one. They seem to happen every 20, 25 years. But if that answers your question, that's what changed, is really stepping outside the airport layout plan.
Follow-up?
Thank you for your question.
Follow-up?
Yes, thank you. And I think that we can follow up with the DOT, but it sounds like, clarify or let me know if I misunderstand through the co-chair. Thank you, Mr. Co-chair, to Mr. Halverson. So it sounds like what you're saying is that there's a new lot that is outside of the fence that is delineated or marked on this map. Is that what you're saying is happening?
Representative, and through the chair, yes, that is what's happening. The short answer is yes. That's what's happening. It seems like this bill would have prevented this. Then the new lot could have been developed somewhere else on the airport. Like I said, we're not in favor of shutting down airports at all. Just looking for more reasonableness and, I guess, recognition of the community that's right in place on the boundary.
And Representative Nelson, another follow-up?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I think it'd be good, and we can talk with Andy or DOT to get what the actual property boundaries are on where the fence lies. I think that's an important thing that would be helpful for me. Last question is that you had mentioned about sensible buffers, and this is another thing that I want to follow up, frankly, with the DOT on what a buffer is defined as. But in your mind, Mr. Halverson, recognizing that you're on the edge of this property, what is a sensible buffer?
Oh, thank you for your question, Representative, and through the chair. That is a question that would be difficult for one person to answer. I think that would be something that would be studied. But to me, what would be sensible is a little bit of screening, vegetative screening of some kind, or as we're talking about at Kodiak, perhaps the earth, just a little bit of screening, which I think is similar to what's done in other industrial areas of a municipality. And as far as distance, a number, that's going to depend on the effectiveness of the screening, because I think what we're trying to screen is noise and, in this case, dust or debris flowing. I hesitate to give a hard number. Thank you.
Okay. So thank you, Mr. Halverson. We're going to kind of open up for some more questions. I have two people in the queue. I just want to remind folks here in the committee that we do have Britton Goldberg, the Chief Aviation Leasing Department Transportation, for questions. Jody Gould, Systems Planner, Alaska International Airport Systems. And Ian Moore, also a planner with the Ted Stevens Anchorage Airport. And just for awareness, Mr. Mills had to step out for another committee meeting. So I have first in the queue is Co-Chair Carrick.
Thank you, through the co-chair. This might be a question for DOT or possibly the bill sponsor, but I guess I'm understanding where Girdwood's situation is running into challenges with DOT, but I'm wondering what happens if the situation is reversed. So say we pass the legislation and now local control in this area takes priority definitively. And what happens if a neighborhood wants to expand into that buffer zone? And in this case with Girdwood, there's a residential priority of having trees in a real buffer zone there. But what happens if the community wants to expand into that buffer zone and it runs up against DOT's priorities for safe operations of the airport? And I ask that question because we've run into this question before regarding the railroad and their right-of-way area. So let's reverse the situation and let's say that the community wants to expand and their local authority definitively supersedes DOT. What happens in that situation? Or is that something that's been considered?
Yeah, thank
you. So, Representative Holland, we'll go with you first, but then I'll have Britton Goldberg come on to answer from the DOT's perspective. Go ahead, Representative
Holland. Yeah, Representative Kai Holland. The way I believe this is constructed in terms of the legislation is that the airport safety is always paramount in this process. The intent is that as the development would occur, there is actually under the FAA grant assurances program requirements that the airport and its sponsor would be involved in any surrounding land use development process. So if there was a comprehensive planning process, new zoning process, the grant assurances process actually requires the airport to be involved to ensure that development doesn't happen in a way that would compromise the airport operations. The interesting part is that that grant assurances program doesn't have the opposite. It doesn't require that the airport consult with and work with the local jurisdiction if the airport is expanding. It does require the involvement there. So again, but the language I think is clear in the bill that this would never interrupt anything that the airport needed to do for safety. And safety in this case is defined by the FAA regulations that tell us exactly what safe operations look like. They provide distances along the runway, width, height. There's a very prescriptive definition of what's required to ensure safe operations. The other comment I was just going to make to tag on here is in terms of the changes that Representative Garrett was mentioning, the airport master plan originally anticipated new helicopter operations would be at the north end of the airport. This development of a new helicopter operation is put at exactly the opposite end in a property that didn't even exist before. So the changes that Mr. Halverson mentioned in terms of creating new developable property, that was one change. But the other change was the airport master plan that said any helicopter operations would be at the other end of the airport in order to keep the separation from the community. And for some reason, they changed that and took the position that they had the discretion to make that change to their own master plan because they have sole authority over their internal planning.
And Co-Chair Carrick has a follow-up. I just for the committee's awareness, I've been informed that our House floor meeting has been delayed from 2:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. So that means we can be here till about 2:25.
Well, so, thank you.
So more time. Follow-up, Co-Chair Carrick.
Just as a follow-up through the co-chair, I hear what you're saying, Representative Holland. I would kind of like to hear from DOT, too, on this dialogue. But what I heard from the invited testifiers as well was that one of the benefits of this bill is that it might lead to better public process at the local level, and I think that would likely be the case, but it's not definitive. And I'm just wondering, why not do a bill that requires DOT to do more formal consultation at the local level rather than do a bill that changes or not, I guess not changes, but clearly defines who's got the superseding authority on this issue. Why not instead do something where we clarify that DOT must consult at the local level in a more effective way that the community is getting heard?
Representative Holland.
Yeah, thank you. I'm Kai Holland. The original advice we got when we were looking into this issue provided a framework that suggested that we should take a that we could take a much broader approach to this consultation and integration of airport planning and municipal planning. And it also introduced the notion that that was probably going to be a very difficult process, as we've seen with other development projects in the railroad. And we decided to take a pretty narrow, specific bite out of the apple, if you will, on looking at just the buffering situation and the process around that. So could it, should it apply in a more broader sense? Perhaps we decided to start this conversation looking at a very narrow, specific piece of this relationship between the airport's authority for planning and the local community and the surrounding area's authority for planning, and recognizing that there was a paradox in there that the state statutes say that agencies have to work with the local jurisdictions, but in this case we have another statute that says the airport doesn't have to work with local jurisdictions. So we're looking at the boundary, in this case the buffer, but the DOT may have an additional perspective on that that I would welcome.
Thank you. Britton Goldberg from DOT, are you able to address Co-Chair Carrick's question and this conversation we've been having?
Hello, this is Britton Goldberg, Chief of Leasing for Central Region Aviation Leasing, Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. For the record, through the chair to Representative Carrick. So there are specific authorities that are granted over to the airport under 0225, as mentioned, and the previously introduced definition there. I would like to note that we do have a master plan in place for the airport. However, it is approximately 20-something years old, and the planning documents are a guidance, not necessarily a strict interpretation. So if we were looking at this from the perspective brought up earlier, if the city was looking to expand into airport property, I mean, we would still have the existing property boundaries as far as the ownership would go to try and extend the buffer zones as currently undefined and not listed within any of our planning documentation could potentially have an impact on our authority over the airport and the ability to ensure safety. I would note that some of the documents, it appears that we may be looking at a situation where you're talking about the removal or reduction of a buffer necessary to address a direct and immediate safety hazard. We typically try to be proactive and remove any buffers that might provide any sort of safety impact.
Follow-up, Co-Chair, related to that?
Yeah, I think I appreciate that response. I don't know that that's quite where the question is, though. My question is twofold. One, if you have if this bill were to pass and you had definitive local planning superseding DOT, and that encroached in a way that would potentially impact safety from DOT's perspective, just a comment on that. And then the second question was more for the bill sponsor. So I guess, Do you have a comment on the idea of this bill potentially leading to the reverse situation of the example specifically mentioned in this presentation today, where the community wants to develop in a buffer zone in a way that DOT does not feel would, or that they feel would detrimentally impact safe operations?
Mr. Goldberg.
Again, it's Britton Goldberg. So we can't allow anything to impact the safety of the airport, and any buffer zone that would be established by this legislation would be on State of Alaska DOT-managed property. So this would be a definite conflict, especially with FAA grant assurances and our ability to quickly respond to safety issues and to proactively manage those safety issues.
Just a follow-up comment. I think that's really the crux of this bill, through the co-chair. I just think that's really the crux of this bill is where my hesitation is creating a situation where you have just an area ripe for legal challenge between FAA and DOT and a local community whose authority would potentially supersede on the planning side the DOT considerations. So I'll work with the sponsor a little bit on this, I think.
Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Co-Chair Eichheit. And this is a question for DOT. Do you have any other similar complaints on airports as you do from this Girdwood Airport?
Mr. Goldberg.
Hi, this is Mr. Goldberg, to the chair, to Representative Stutes. I'm not aware of any similar complaints. I do administer one of three rural regions, but in conversations with the other regional chiefs, I have not heard of anything coming close to this.
Follow up. That's where my reluctance comes in. I am and have always been very reluctant of creating legislation regionally or locally. If it's a statewide issue, I think it's, then you look at it. But to create legislation for one particular area or one particular instance gives me great pause. And as anybody on this committee knows, I'm not necessarily the number one fan of DOT, but it's, I know it's hard to believe, but it just seems to me, Representative Holland, that maybe you're a true diplomat, and maybe with your help, and dealing and working with DOT and the community collectively, this might be something that is resolvable. I mean, you carry a little bit more weight than just the average neighbor being a state representative. And so it does give me pause, particularly hearing that this is just one incident or... Well, that's what he said, just one throughout the state. So it concerns me a little bit. I just want to say that. But I do think, Representative Holland, that you could be very implemental in helping your district resolve this situation.
Chair Eyeside.
I'm sorry.
I just wanted to be recognized. I appreciate the comments, Kai Holland, to Representative Stutes. I will say that I had hoped that would be the case. Indeed, working with our senator, we have worked very hard and very forcefully, I think, to try and convey the need for a more cooperative relationship between the local community and DOT to resolve this issue. And there's been, nearly a year's worth of opportunity to find any sort of middle ground. But in the end of the day, what's not been conveyed, and you don't see in pictures here, is there is no buffer between the residential homes and a 30-foot metal helicopter hangar. You go out, and 10 feet away from the stairs at the back of this house, there's a new fence and gravel. And a few feet away is a 30-foot metal building at this point. This was surprising to me that we had to go back and learn about the history of this going back into the 60s and explore, well, why did this happen? Why are we in this place? And if I thought this was strictly a one-off situation, I agree completely. I have no interest in creating one-off legislation. But what we learned was that this is the Airport Act was developed back at a time when we had no local planning and zoning. It just didn't exist anywhere around the state. And this act was done in order to provide the airport some structure to make land use decisions at a time when there was no surrounding land use guidance. The situation has changed. Communities are changing. They're growing in many areas. And we looked into this and saw this as maybe a way to avoid problems in the future, given that we were not able to come up with a reasonable compromise in this case.
One comment. Thank you, Kosher Eyeshide. Well, I don't have all the answers, but it might be maybe pertinent to have the head of DOT Aviation come before this committee in relation to this very situation. As to why maybe we could get a little more understanding, but. Anyway, thank you for that.
And so we do have, Britton Goldberg. He's the chief of aviation leasing department of transportation. So
she wants to beat up on Ryan.
but if it is the commissioner you would like.
Thank you, just Co-Chair Eyeshide. I don't think it would hurt. I think that we need to come back together and start working together, and it really makes my hair stand on end to hear DOT take a stance as it's ours and we can do what we want. That just doesn't work well for me. But I'm hearing one side of the issue on that, and maybe that isn't exactly how it transpired. I don't know. So I'm saying let's look at all avenues.
Thank you. Representative McCabe?
Thanks. So here's what I might suggest. First off, a 50-foot-tall metal hanger is a buffer, frankly, from the noise. We're talking about a buffer from the noise. So a hanger is a buffer. We could also erect a fence, but it would likely be not 50 feet tall, right? I mean, that's what they're talking about as a buffer from the noise, from the airport, from this. So I'm not clear why we're saying that the hangar is the problem. That's a buffer. I mean, look at there's one alternative. Let's sell Talkeetna Airport to the municipality of Anchorage. They already own Merrill Field, but, there's no buffers around anywhere on Merrill Field that the municipality put up, and there are houses all around that place. So I'm a little unclear if we're doing this legislation for one person at a tune of 64, I mean, 600, I mean, how much money? That's a lot of money. So I've heard about this problem actually for about a year since this was proposed, and it's kind of circled in the aviation or around the aviation circles, and you were correct in asking if this is a problem anywhere else, because it's really not. So Talkeetna is expanding, tourism is expanding down there. The helicopter tourism is becoming a big deal. It's noisy. I get that. Maybe if they want to regulate it, then they should have the city of Anchorage buy it from the state and let the city maintain it and regulate it, and then they would fall under different regulations than the DOT is. That would be a perfect solution. Why don't we amend the bill to do that? Mm-hmm.
Representative Holland, did you want to make a comment?
Thank you, Kai Holland, through the chair. I appreciate those comments because I agree with the representative spot on. And one of the things I was investigating is why haven't we seen more problems, and indeed in the country? Why, what's the history behind this? And what I learned is I think, along the same lines, which is more typically the local municipal, borough, county owns these local airports. And since they're the ones that create the land use planning, and they approve the housing, and they approve the buffering requirements, if they're developing the airport and they already have their own zoning buffering requirements, there's no incompatibility. They work together because they are together, and the developments are done in a compatible way. This is a unique situation where DOT owns a airport that is in municipal land, and you're absolutely right, Representative, that one way to solve this problem would be to just simply turn over the airport to the municipality, and then that incompatibility would probably resolve. One of the people we could bring in the future was one of the municipal planning personnel that was involved in this to bring their voice to this effort of trying to work together on this, and they were not available today, unfortunately, but I'd encourage that voice to be there. But I appreciate your observation because you're spot on.
Representative McCabe?
Follow up? Yeah, thank you, Chair Eichheit. So I didn't say turnover. I said sell. Okay, there are a number of valuable properties on there that are providing lease money to the state. I know this because I have a friend that leases a couple hangars there, and he pays the state a pretty good chunk of money. So I think that it would be good to get the mayor of Anchorage in here or somebody from Anchorage and see if they'd be willing to buy the Talkeetna Airport, because it's a valuable asset.
Is this
Talkeetna? No, it's part of the municipality of Anchorage, isn't it?
Yes.
Did I say Talkeetna? I'm sorry.
You said Talkeetna.
Sorry.
Tell it to Girdwood.
You've been corrected, but carry on.
Yeah. My apologies. But get the mayor of Anchorage in here and see if they would be willing to buy the Girdwood Airport. I'm sure the state would be happy. We did that with the railroad, right? We sold a couple of the railroad sold some property to Whittier, sold some property to Nenana. Why couldn't the state DOT sell some property to the city of Anchorage in Girdwood? Anchorage already owns Merrill Field. They're used to airport operations. The city of Wasilla owns their airport. I think it'd be a fabulous idea. Let's do that.
So I appreciate this dialogue. This is interesting. I one of the things in researching your bill, Representative Howland, is I recollect it when I was a planner for the MATSU, and I'm sure Representative McCabe probably has a context. He's probably flown in and out of Palmer. But the airport, FAA told them, because they're getting federal grants, that their glide path on their big runway, they had to remove some trees that was in the Matanuska River Park. And they kind of had to do it, like, now, because it was a safety issue. The trees were impinging into the safe airspace. And of course, because it was large, old-growth cottonwoods, big cottonwoods, you know, folks, because it was a park, had some issues. So the Borough Korea website, and they informed people what was going to happen. And they did find a middle ground, if you would. Rather than taking out all the trees, they just took out the big trees, the big cottonwoods. So it was like a select cut. But there was a conversation. I am curious, though, about it says have a public comment period, and I think I saw 30 days. So it didn't say anything about responding to the public comments. So it seems like sometimes safety issues are identified and are kind of imminent. And I'm wondering if 30 days, it gives guidelines, but maybe it isn't always appropriate when safety is the issue.
Into that.
Any comment?
Chair Eichheit, I would like to point to the first two sections of the Airport Zoning Act, which I'd be happy to provide for you after the hearing.
Please.
So the department's authority to develop airport lands is sort of split into two sections here. The second addresses discretionary development around the airport that's largely operational. The first addresses development of a designated area immediately surrounding and in front of the runway. That first section is not touched at all by our bill. Our bill only addresses the second section that addresses discretionary and operational development. So any work that needs to be done to maintain that clear zone in front of the runway would be the DOT is free to maintain, and I will, if I may, let the representative answer the question about public process.
Thank you. Well, Kai Holland, I think you've got provided a good answer. I just noted here that in item 2 on page 2, we don't have a specific time frame in there. Perhaps we could provide more definition, but right now it just says that it will provide for public notification and opportunity for comment before reducing or removing the buffer. So we left it open-ended in order to allow some flexibility in what needed to happen there, but I think also Aiden's provided some clarification that this doesn't necessarily get in the way of something that would probably be operationally an imminent safety hazard.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that context. I may have seen a 30-day in just my research, but Mr. Nickel, that was very helpful, what you just provided. So are there any further questions for the bill sponsor or any of our online experts? Okay, so that really concludes our agenda for today. I'd like to thank Representative Holland and his staffer, Mr. Nickel, for appearing before the committee. Really enjoyed the kind of a robust dialogue. It is so nice to have a good conversation two-way, and I really appreciate this committee. We'll set the bill aside for now. Our next House Transportation Committee meeting will be on Tuesday, March 17th at 1 p.m., and this meeting stands adjourned at 2:07 p.m.